appearance at Rock and Shock, October 11th, 12th, and 13th at the DCU Center in Worcester, Massachusetts. All right. I can breathe again, Keith. Why is that funny?
I don't know.
So, we're going to discuss over the next few weeks terrifying but true events. And we're going to start off with probably one of the most well-known. And that would be what?
The Amityville Horror House.
The Amityville Horror. And, yes, the house is for sale.
Still for sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's been,
sale again.
Again?
Again. Yeah, somebody bought it, moved into it. Now they're selling it. So, it is what it is.
What is the problem with that house? I mean, I bet you I could walk in there and nothing would happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
So,
don't forget, Ann and Lorraine Warren did go to the house. They did perform an exorcism in the house. And whether or not there's something still in there, I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, the movie made it out to be some very, very bad stuff in there. I don't know about any official observations that were made. If you say Ed and Lorraine were in there, then something had to have been up with the place.
Yeah, well, let's give a little background history on it. Amityville is 30 miles outside of New York City. And it's a little suburb in Long Island. Quaint little neighborhood. On the night of November 13th of 1974, 23, I believe he was 23 at the time, Ronald, they called him Ronnie DeFeo Jr., went in there in the middle of the night and murdered his entire family, which consisted of his parents and his four younger siblings. He used a .35 caliber rifle and shot them while they were sleeping. So, the devil made him do it. That was the official explanation from Ronnie. He said that he heard voices. The voices were emanating from inside the house and told him to kill his family. At which point he went, got the rifle, and in the middle of the night, killed his family.
And that's a true story.
That is a true story. That is a absolute. Ronald DeFeo is in, I don't know if he's in Attica or if he's in Rikers Island in New York, serving a life sentence. So, fast forward a little bit. About, I think it was a year and a half later. We didn't have social media and all that happy stuff back then. You know, so when something like that, I mean, this is 1974. When you have a mass murder like that, it didn't make its way around the country. It wasn't all over social media. So a lot of people didn't even know about it other than the local people. Enter George Lutz. Now, George and his family were looking for a house. So they looked at the Amityville house. You know, beautiful house. It's right on a little, I don't know if it's a lake or a pond or whatever, but, you know, it's a gorgeous house. Should have gone for, 1974, probably at least $500,000. So when he saw the price was $80,000, he couldn't pass it up. He's like, hell yeah. And a house like this for $80,000? Absolutely. So They bought the house for $80,000 and moved in right away. They lasted 28 days in the house. 28 days. All right. Some interesting facts pertaining to George Lutz and the Amityville house. The stepfather, George Lutz, had a history of dabbling in the occult. This has not been confirmed nor denied. The book doesn't cover it. The movie doesn't cover it. This is just speculation that went on after everything. So, they're saying it's a fact. Okay, we'll say it's a fact. George said he woke up every night at 3:15 a.m., which was the same time Ronnie DeFeo carried out the murders. Now, another thing I should add in here was the Lutz family was not informed of the murders. They bought the house. They just thought they were buying the house at a reduced rate. And the realtor never told them that six people were murdered in the house. And that's why the house was $80,000. So, woke up every morning at 3:15 a.m., which is when he carried out the murders. The entire family claimed to smell strange odors, see green slime oozing out of the walls and keyholes, and experience cold spots in certain areas of the house. The odors, the cold spots, I've never seen anything oozing out of walls, but the strange odors, the cold spots in the house are absolutely spot on with paranormal activity. So, their claim to have smelled the odors, had the cold spots, everything added up. Now, when a priest came to bless the house, he heard a voice scream, "Get out." And he told the Lutzes to never sleep in a particular room in the house. Now, I'm not sure which room it was. I don't know if it was Ronnie's room or the kids' room. Other paranormal activity that took place was a nearby garage door was opening and closing, an invisible spirit knocking a knife down in the kitchen, a pig-like creature with red eyes staring down at George Lutz and his son Daniel from a window, George waking up to his wife Kathy levitating off their bed, and sons Daniel and Christopher were also levitating together in their beds. Now, after 28 days of this, they left the house with only the clothes on their back. They took nothing with them. They hauled ass, and when Ed and Lorraine got involved and they wanted the Lutzes to come back to be part of the investigation, they absolutely said no way.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. So, fallout. Okay. After telling their story, it's kind of hard to believe, right? Well, both George and Kathy Lutz took a lie detector test, and guess what? They both passed the lie detector test. The couple was bogged down in legal and financial issues. Some skeptics thought they had motive to create a fantastical story to sell to the public. Daniel Lutz lives a quiet life in Queens, New York, as a stonemason. He claims the house ruined his life and that he continues to have nightmares to this day. And the aforementioned Ronnie DeFeo is still serving 6 25-year-to-life sentences at a New York correctional facility. and he claimed to have heard voices urging him to kill his family, and he's changed his story multiple times. The house today, it actually sold in February of 2017. They won't disclose the person's name, obviously. But it went for $605,000, which is a little weird, because that's $200,000 less than the original asking price. It was previously owned by four other families since the murders. And one of them had the address changed from 112 Ocean Ave to 108 Ocean Ave. Which, again, is a little weird. There was no... If he didn't want people coming and looking at the house, I mean, the house is still there. People are going to pull up and say, what the hell are those things behind me trying to get in? People are going to see that, and they're going to be like, there's the house. So changing the address really, really doesn't matter. So the Amityville house is still standing. It looks totally different. It's not as ominous as it looked back in the 70s. It's actually brightened up. And as far as whether or not anybody still had any kind of paranormal experiences or anything in there, nobody's saying anything. So the house is up for sale again, which again really leads me to believe that, I mean, these people aren't staying in there long. This family just moved in there in 2017 and they're ready to sell already. So Ed and Lorraine Warren, along with the Catholic Church, supposedly got rid of everything that was in there. And Sarah says, my dad said when you drive by, it seems like it takes way longer than normal. Yes, yes. I've heard a lot of people say that no matter how fast you're driving, it kind of seems like slow motion. And that is absolutely true. So if you want to buy the house, it's for sale. And if they already reduced it $200,000 to $605,000 when they bought it in 2017, I'd like to see how much it goes for now. It's a beautiful property. But with everything that's going on in that house, no. You know what other house is for sale, Keith? The Conjuring House in... Sarah says, yeah, I'll get right on that. The Conjuring House in Rhode Island is also for sale. And the family that's lived in there recently has complained of certain things happening. And I mean, that could be anything.
You want to know a place right here in New London that's really bad?
Here?
Right here in New London. The old, the place you guys investigated, the Drunken Palate.
The old Drunken Palate.
The old Drunken Palate. I was in there, in the back of the studio, and of course everything's torn up. She's almost like 99% moved out of there. I'm telling you, when I was in that back room, I've never been freaked out like this in my entire existence, but there was this pressing over, I can't explain it. It was kind of, if I can explain it, I'd say it was this heavy presence that was watching and was angry.
So I felt like a heaviness?
It felt like a pressing... Like someone pressing their observation upon me, and I couldn't tell where or who it was coming from. I know it might sound a little odd, and maybe I need to take some medication or something, but I've been in tons of places and never had that sense of I'm being watched. And I know it sounds like something like, you know, something I should be explaining to a therapist, but It freaked me out. I told her I don't want to go back there anymore by myself. And you know, I'm a 44 year old grown man, and I'm afraid of this dark area of this art studio that has this overwhelming presence. I mean, you guys investigated the place and came up with all kinds of stuff, but whatever is in there,
I don't believe they came up with anything dark or demonic or anything like that.
Well, whatever's in there now is pissed off.
That's possible.
It's really angry. Whatever's in there, whatever presence is in there, is very, very angry.
Anytime there's any kind of disruption, and I mean that's a huge disruption because she's moving the stuff. You know, she's moving from one place to another. So they know this, and you know the people that they're used to having around aren't going to be around.
Right.
That will do it.
Wow. It made me uncomfortable. That's all I got to say. And you know, I'm someone that normally, if I would to say something like this, would end up on medication or in a psychiatric ward. I'm telling you, it was. I wasn't imagining things. It was pretty. It was overwhelming.
I absolutely believe you. Absolutely believe you. Sarah, I don't know if you missed it. We were talking about haunted history, the Leffingwell Inn, and October 25th and 26th are going back and doing the same thing we did last time. And we've been doing this quite a bit. And I have never, ever, ever seen the interaction that the spirits there had with Sarah. It was... I mean, I sat back in awe. I was watching it, and I was amazed. Absolutely amazed. It was pretty cool. So, yeah. All right. So, Sarah's going to be there on the 26th. And well, hopefully it goes the same way as it went last time. Because it was interesting. And speaking of the Conjuring House, the daughter from the Conjuring House, I am going to try to have her on as a guest. Let's see if we can do that. I'm going to reach out to the Lutzes. George Lutz died. I believe the mother died too. But I'll see if I can get one of them. And I think it'll be some pretty cool interviews. I'm having a brain fart right now, but the daughter from The Conjuring is actually into the paranormal now herself. She's got several books out, and we'll put them up and advertise some of them. And I think it's going to be good. Our countdown to Halloween is going to be really good. It's going to be really good. Trying to decide if I'm going to dress up. I came in here as a Joker that one year. We had a lot of fun with that. Are you there, Glenn? Glenn. Keith?
Obviously, I was here.
Oh, all right.
You do the Joker laugh pretty well, too.
Oh, my God. What's the matter, Batman?
Yeah, you're going to have to get dressed up again this Halloween, because that was something else.
Yeah, we had a good time with that. I don't know if I can get the makeup that good again. My my niece Lisa actually did the makeup for me, and she was amazing. Audio cut out for a second, but it's back. Did you hear my laugh?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking Sarah. She said the audio cut out for a minute.
All right, everything's fine over here.
What's the matter, Batman? Yeah, I tried to audition for the Riddler in the next Batman EA video game. Didn't get it.
Aw.
Whatever. So, all right. Now, getting back to some of our scary but true. All right. So, yeah. So what do you think? I'm flying solo today, Sarah. It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. I mean, I got Keith here with me, but I'm handling it. We're doing good. Peppy. So, in Springfield, Missouri. Okay, thank you for that. There was a young girl kidnapped in the middle of the day on a street in Springfield, Missouri. Somebody witnessed the event and tried chasing the car on foot to at least get the plate number, call the cops. They sent out an Amber Alert, and after a few hours, they identified the owner of the vehicle and where he lived. But by the time they got to his house, they found her undressed body in a plastic tub in his basement. She had been raped and shot to death. The most screwed up thing was that this guy was a middle school coach, and he had child pornography in his house as well as photos of young girls from his middle school. They found out that the Catholic high school that the murderer was the son of the theology teacher. The teacher left school for over a week, sure trying to fathom how his own son could commit such a heinous crime. The murderer was sentenced to death this year for the death of the girl, Haley Owens. Her family, as well as the family of the murderer, lobbied to change Amber Alert laws so that they can be issued faster after a kidnap is reported. Now, this is somebody that everybody trusted. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's weird. But these are all stupid. There's nothing scary about them. I mean, they're
socially awkward.
Yeah. I don't know. Speaking of stuff like that, fighting fearlessly. Everybody needs to fight fearlessly. All of us here at Project Arrowhead fight fearlessly. We ain't going to tolerate that shit. We are going to fight and fight and fight. And the scary thing is that they're real life. Yeah, absolutely, Sarah. Absolutely. All right, so let's see. Here we go. Guy knows a boat mechanic. So one Saturday, he's on his own doing some work on a boat, and suddenly he comes to and he's on the ground. He knew there was water under the boat he'd been working on, so he assumed he'd been electrocuted, and he's vaguely aware of someone behind him. He starts yelling, "Help, help, I've been electrocuted," and hears whoever is behind him leave. He keeps yelling, and eventually a guy in a neighboring business hears him and comes to his aid. When he's at the hospital, he finds out he wasn't electrocuted, that someone had hit him in the back of the head with his own mallet, and nothing was stolen from the shop. Meaning someone, the person was never caught, was just walking by and spontaneously decided to hit him in the back of the head for no reason. Douchebaggery 101. Again, why would somebody do that? Why? Why? All right, we're going to skip that one.
Next.
Next. My great aunt was buried alive when she was only in her 20s. The casket was brought up when the cemetery had to be relocated.
Ew.
The casket had broken, and she was upside down with claw marks everywhere inside the casket. That's got to be the worst. It doesn't give a date, but there's a movie, and I'm trying to think of the name of the movie. I think it was The Haunting of Jane Doe. And it's on Netflix. It's really good. And back in the old days, they used to tie a bell to your big toe.
Ew.
Well, do you know why they tied a bell to your big toe?
To shake off the toe cheese? I don't know.
Oh, freaking disgusting. No, they used to tie a bell to your big toe because back in them, Jesus Christ, those things scared the hell out of me.
You all right?
Yeah. Back in those days, they didn't have the equipment we have now. And sometimes, you know, people with a very low heart rate would look like they were dead. And before they were getting buried, they'd pop up like, what the hell? So when they brought him to the Undertaker, in case that happened, they would tie a bell to their big toe. And when they woke up, the bell would ring. Okay, that would be enough for me to crap myself. If I'm working in a mortuary and all of a sudden I hear a bell ringing and see somebody walking around. Anyway, the autopsy of Jane Doe. Yep, good one. Watch it. All right. This one's more recent. Back in the 90s, my mom was on the highway heading home from a friend's house late at night. She was driving a really nice Thunderbird. Why that matters, I don't know. After a while, this big white van drove next to hers, and the driver started performing some very rude gestures and being young and dumb. My mom reciprocated with the gesture. Big mistake. You never give me... Never freaking go back at him. Never. All right. So the dude pulled up and pulled out a big Bowie knife. My mom started to panic and sped up to get away from the van and was followed right along. Then the guy tried to run her off the road. Keep in mind, they're probably going about 100 miles an hour. She gets on the exit to get home, and he's still following her. When she does get back to her house, which she shared with her parents, she pulled into the driveway, honking the horn and screaming, trying to wake someone up. The van pulls into the driveway just as her father comes out in his underwear with a gun. The dude got scared and drove off. Her mom wouldn't leave the house for the next month except for school, but never at night. Let's see. What does Sarah say? Whoop. Hold on, that's a long comment there. I got to bring it up. All right. Sarah bought a book about stories in the Maritimes, Canada. They said this man was from Prince Edward Island and wanted to be buried there. I think he was an actor. He died and was buried in Florida, obviously against his wishes. They say during a hurricane, it swept up his coffin along with the others, and his ended up back in Prince Edward Island. It's possible. It's definitely possible. I want to have to research that. How long ago was that, Sarah? Because that would be pretty cool. Oh, here we go. One about the Mexican cartel, man. I don't think we want to make no jokes about the Mexican cartel. Okay, well, that makes sense. All right, so this dude was driving home from work one night around 9 p.m. midweek, so the roads were quiet. As he was driving downhill, he heard a sound that was like a jet engine roaring behind him. The next thing he knew, a car goes flying past him, going twice the speed limit. It looked like a fairly odd, crappy car. That's very descriptive. Very odd, crappy car. The car started to get the speed wobbles, and then one of the tires came flying off and rolled at speeds downhill whilst the car spun out and crashed. He stopped his car to make sure whoever was inside was okay. The guy got out of the car, looked over at him, and then started moving extremely quick towards him. He doesn't know why, but he hit his internal locks on the car, which was fortunate because no more than 2 seconds later, the guy started grabbing at the driver's side door and smashing on the windows with his fist trying to get in. I'll never forget the crazy look he had in his eyes. He put his foot down on the accelerator and drove off back home. He decided to swap cars once he got home and drove back to see what was going on. There were 2 fire trucks and 4 police cars close to where the incident happened. When he got back to the crash site, the guy was no longer there, so he decided to head home. The next day, while he was online bored reading the news, he saw an article that shocked him. The article was about a guy who had been in a police chase for 1 hour and the police stopped chasing him because it was becoming too dangerous. Turns out the guy was high on meth, had stolen a car an hour's drive away, and had been in a hot pursuit. After crashing the car, the guy apparently crossed to the other side of the road and hailed the first car that appeared, which was a taxi. He got into the taxi, stole it, in the process pushed the driver out the driver's side door, and the driver got stuck and dragged at high speed. The driver died from the incident. He called the police and had a detective assigned. He fingerprint checked the car and got a statement. He had to testify in the Supreme Court as a key witness in a murder trial. The guy got 30 years, and they told him that his testimony was one of the main factors in convicting him. Meth. One hell of a drug. You're not kidding.
That's an ugly drug.
It's an ugly... All drugs are ugly drugs. So, I mean, some of these are really good, but... they're not really scary. I mean, I guess it's scary for the person. But, I don't know if you remember the urban legend about the girl in the gas station. You remember that one? Have you heard about that one? Penis wrinkle.
Yes, sir. I'm talking to someone who's watching the show. They're really freaked out about the people in the background that you haven't even noticed yet. You look behind you. Do you see all those weird people? I think they're zombies trying to get into
the
studio.
I've made several comments on them already. It shows how much you're freaking paying attention. Sarah knows what I'm talking about. So anyway.
Cindy in New London says it's freaking her out.
Hey, Cindy. I'm sorry. We got it barricaded. They will not be coming in, I promise. You can see them pushing their face against the plastic.
They want to eat you.
So anyway, the urban legend. Rumor is, or history is, or legend is, it was a rainy night. Very rainy night. This young girl pulls into a gas station. There's... also, I had a ghost car incident. So freaky. Oh, I gotta hear about this. So anyway, the guy pulls into the gas... Jesus Christ. The girl pulls into the gas station. And, there's this one weird-looking, just creepy-looking dude that's working at the gas station. And he goes out, he pumps her gas. Well, he keeps trying to get her into the gas station. Yeah, you know, he tells her stuff like there's something wrong with her credit card and this and that. He keeps trying to get her to come into the gas station. Now, she's alone. She's freaking out. She's not getting out of the car. So he says, you need to come over here. There's an issue with your credit card. So she goes over. He tries to grab her and pull her into the gas station. Now, this guy's a scumbag, right? Wrong. Turns out that, well, after he tried pulling her into the gas station, she kicked him in the nuts.
Ow.
And then punched him in the head and took off. All right. As she's pulling off, the guy's screaming to her. So, this guy's a creep, right? Wrong. While he was pumping her gas, he noticed there was somebody in the back of her car and was trying to save her life. The girl drove down the road a little ways. The guy in the back of the car jumped up, slit her throat, killed her. And that's how the urban legend goes. So the whole time, you think this guy's a creep. He's trying to get her into the gas station. And the whole time, he was trying to save her from the guy in the back of her car. So what do you do in a situation like that?
You scream, there's a guy in the back of your car, get out.
He probably should have done that right off the bat. I don't know why he didn't. And that's why it's called an urban legend. There's a couple of good ones. All right, so Sarah, we're waiting on the ghost car incident. Give us a call, 860-626-5193, 860-626-5193. Share your ghost car incident with us.
Live on the air.
Live on the air. Sarah's awesome. Drive erratic to get the person away from her. Yeah. Doesn't always work well. I drive erratic all the time.
That's how most people in Connecticut drive erratically. You're not alone.
Yeah, well. Speed limit? What's the speed limit?
Oh, there's someone crossing the road. Get him. Caller, you're on the air.
It's me.
You're on the air, caller. Go ahead.
It's Sarah.
Hey, what's up, Sarah?
Nothing. I was typing out my story, but I was like, all right, fine, I'll call.
Yeah, it's too much to read. So go ahead. What's the ghost car?
Okay, so I used to work at the Waterford Mall, or the Crystal Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving home from work around like 9:30, and I was going on Route 11. And I get off, I think it's like exit 10, right before you merge onto Route 2 in Colchester, I got off the exit to go get gas.
Mm-hmm.
And the car, there was a car right behind me, which I didn't notice there was any cars on the highway. And this car, I'm getting off the exit, like the off-ramp, and this car is behind me, like its lights are so bright, it comes out of nowhere, and it's speeding, and it's speeding. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm stopping at the end of this ramp. This car is going to crash right into me. And I'm looking at it in my mirrors, and I stop, and then I look behind, and it's gone. He just disappeared.
Hmm.
And there was no other cars on the road. And it's like, it was on the off-ramp. It couldn't have gone anywhere. Like, I was the only car there in front of it.
And you said this was over by Route 2 to get on towards Colchester?
Coming, so it would be, if you're on Route 11 and you're going towards Colchester,
yep.
It meets Route 11 meets up with Route 2, but I got off the mm-hmm. exit right before it.
Okay.
I think it was exit 10.
Okay.
On Route 11, but coming towards Colchester.
Hmm.
Yeah, it freaked me out. It really freaked me out. Because I was like, I really thought this car... At first it freaked me out because I just thought I was going to get into a car accident. I apologize for that dog bark. And
oh, I thought somebody was getting murdered. I didn't know what the hell that was.
Yeah, no, that's just my cover story. So yeah, and so I just thought I was going to get into a car accident. And so I stopped and I just kind of like clenched up because I thought I was just about to get hit. And then I opened my eyes and this car is just gone.
Well, that area right there, and I didn't realize this. It's funny you mentioned this. It's part of the haunted highway.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, there's a haunted highway. Somebody posted it on Facebook, and it stretches throughout Connecticut. And it's very weird. Yeah, it's like a haunted trail, haunted highway, something like that. And that was part of it.
Route 11?
Yeah. Yep.
That's crazy.
Did you get to see any of the features of the car?
No, like the lights were so bright behind me that I couldn't see anything else besides the headlights.
Wow. Maybe it was a UFO.
Yeah, this was like probably like 9 years ago. No, but so also same route coming home. Again, coming home from the mall at night, probably 9:30, I saw these two random flares as I was getting onto Route 11 from the mall.
Mm-hmm.
They almost looked like, you know those crazy aces, like Roman candles?
Yeah, yep.
That's what they look like.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I was also on Route 11. That's craziness.
Weird. I gotta do a little more research and looking into the whole Route 11
Yeah, well, now I do too, because I didn't know that was a thing.
Neither did I until, was it last night?
I mean, I've heard of, like, this place in Voluntown that I tried to, like, find something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, a dirt road. It wasn't a highway. Something about Maud Grave or something Maud.
Well, did you know that Voluntown is the vampire capital of New England?
I did know that, and I don't know if that's part of where we were going, but I will say the road that we turned down to go find this grave was just very eerie in itself, and I just got this like feeling that we just shouldn't be there.
Was it Marcy Brown's grave you were looking for?
Maybe. Was it like a witch or something? I don't know
yep.
what it was, but...
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, I think that's where we were looking for. I don't know if it was like Jones Hollow Road or Hell's Hollow Road.
Yeah, it's like
it's definitely
it's actually right over in Rhode Island.
In Rhode Island? Oh, I thought it was in well, wherever we were was in Voluntown.
Yeah, and you're going the right way. You go through Voluntown, and it's like right on the Voluntown Rhode Island border.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she
was like a dirt road.
Yep.
Or like it looked like a state forest or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever it was really creepy, and we turned around.
Wow. Yeah, you were in the right spot.
Well, it felt like the right spot. We just didn't see anything.
Yeah, I'll let you know exactly where it is. Dave Phillips, one of our other lead investigators, he went over and did a story. He showed a picture of her grave site and did a little presentation on it and... all the stuff that went on with her and her family and everything else and how she became...
Okay, question.
Yep.
Has your team ever gone to Dudleytown?
Hey,
I've
Rochelle.
Always wondered about that.
Okay.
I've been there once. We took the Appalachian Trail into... it passes by Dudleytown.
You mean the Mohawk Trail?
I'm sorry?
Mohawk Trail.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
Unofficially, I can tell you I've never been to Dudleytown.
You don't want to go there.
I mean, officially...
No, I don't want you, but
let me take that back. Officially, I can tell you I've never been to Dudleytown. For the record, no. Unofficially, I had to do research for a movie I'm writing. The movie I'm writing is called Dudleytown, the Real Village of the Damned.
Oh, nice.
Dudleytown is, all I can say is stay far away. Now,
is what?
Stay far away.
Oh, yeah.
Lorraine Warren herself would not go into Dudleytown.
Oh, well, there's your sign.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I can tell you my experiences of being there.
When you first get there, you hear nothing.
No, I remember that.
No birds, no bugs, not a sound. It is the most eerie, heavily evil presence you will ever feel. So, did I go into Dudleytown? Absolutely not. Was I at Dudleytown? Maybe.
Were you at the entrance to Dark Society Road that leads into it?
That's on the other side. That's from the Mohawk Trail side.
Right. Well, there's the trail, the Mohawk Trail, and then you have Dark Society Road, which leads into it.
Rochelle, Dudleytown is in... it's north of Hartford.
It's in northwest Connecticut.
Now, for those of you that don't know... Dudleytown, the family, the Dudleys, a curse was put on them over in England. There was some stuff that went on over there. They fled England and they came here. Now, this is one of the two stories. Obviously, you can't ask any of them. That was where one of the things came from. The other story, which is kind of, I kind of believe the second story, the land that they built Dudleytown on used to belong to, I'm going to guess, the Mohawk tribe. There was a deal in place to where the Dudleys would pay the Mohawks so much money for the land. And they reneged on the deal. And the Mohawks put a curse on them. And it ended up that supposedly there is a portal to hell somewhere in Dudleytown. Now, right,
that's what I heard too.
Yep, absolutely. And right after the either curse was put on them, the entire town went insane. They started killing each other. They killed themselves. They just went nuts. And pretty soon the entire town was gone. There were still dishes on the table, food on the table, everything. The bodies disappeared. It was like the entire town just vanished. Couple decades later, another group came in. They moved into Dudleytown. They suffered the same fate. The entire town disappeared. Dudleytown has not been lived in since the early 1930s, I believe. There's been nothing but murder, chaos, just you name it, it's happened there. You cannot get near Dudleytown right now. If you even drive down the road, and I don't know how they know. I mean, they must have cameras up and whatnot. If you drive down the road, you will be stopped by the police. So
I don't know about that. When we were first checking out the area, we went onto the road it's a dead end road, and at the end of the road is the Dark Society Road. It's an interesting name.
How long ago was that?
God, I don't know, four years ago I was there. When we were exploring the area, and we found out that we can get in there, that one of the trails, not the Appalachian, but like you said, the Mohawk Trail, I got it all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
When we found out a trail passed right by the property, we looked at the maps and applied GPS coordinates and were able to get in there. But when we were first driving around the area, we went up to Mohawk Mountain. We went up to check out the trail there. We looked at the maps, see how everything was linked together and how we'd get there. And boy, that was one hell of a hike. We hiked nearly 2 miles, and it was, a real steep terrain, rocky, steep terrain. But nevertheless, when we were driving around investigating the area, we went, I forget the name of the road, but it's a dead-end road, and at the end of the road is the main entrance to Dudleytown. It's called Dark Society Road. And we parked the car at the end of the road, walked up to the gate, took some pictures, and got back in the car. And we hung out there for a good 15 minutes. No one bothered us. But that's what they want you to – they don't want – the people that live on that road don't want, enthusiasts or hobbyist investigators or Joe Schmo coming into their neighborhood to go check out Spooky Town. They just don't want it.
Right.
They don't want the extra attention. So that's why all this, you're going to get arrested just for driving down a public road is absolute nonsense. You can't get arrested
road. You're not going to get arrested for driving down the road. You're going to get arrested if you go to Dudleytown.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Right.
But they tried, they try to make it sound like if you go down the road, you're going to get in trouble. That's not true. You can go down the paved road, but you have to stop at the gate. So we, like I said, we did some research and found out that we could get in through legally, we can go on a public trail that nicks the property of Dudleytown. And as soon as we got close to the area, we had a problem with our GPS receiver started messing up. We had no cell phone service.
No, nobody lives there, Rochelle.
No one lives. It's just it is a bunch of empty foundations. And I'll tell you, the silence there was entirely creepy. There was this very eerie silence there. There weren't birds. Like, you didn't really hear wildlife. It was kind of like a dead zone. It was kind of like locked in time. It's hard to explain.
I heard something about shadow people too around that area.
Yep.
But I don't exactly know what shadow people are. Just that they're there.
Shadow people are basically spirits that don't know they're dead. Some of them are demonic. Some of them are just normal. But most shadow people are bad news.
And then there's one other place in Colchester. I think it was an old African-American, like, society, or, like, they used to have a jazz festival there. But people say it's haunted, and it's actually blocked off, and it's private property, and I don't know too much about it.
Really? I'm going to have to look into that. I don't know anything about that one. Rochelle brought up Holy Land. And, I think anybody that lives in Connecticut has heard of Holy Land.
Minus Sarah Beer.
You've never heard of Holy Land?
No.
Pretty sure it's in Wallingford. And it's
up. Oh, wait, is that the abandoned amusement park?
Sort of, yeah. Yeah. It's not really an amusement park, but it's, yeah. Check out Holy Land. Never been up there. I want to. I'm still, my main focus right now is working on my movie. Obviously, I've ran into some roadblocks. One of them I can get into right now, and that's bringing notoriety to Dudleytown. I have to be prepared for backlash from, like Keith said, from neighboring people. So, yeah, it is. It's a religious amusement park. And I do believe it's in Wallingford.
That's so silly, because I used to live in the town next door. So I think it's coming back to me now.
See? There you go. Hey, while we got you on the phone, let's talk about the haunted history. And I know we have some people that are skeptical and this and that, and think we use smoke and mirrors and everything else. Can you talk about your experience that you had at our last event?
Yeah. when I went there, I was probably skeptical, but like I'm like one of those people who wanted to believe, but it was one of those things that I had to experience it, I guess, for me to believe it. So I still to this day am like weirded out by it, but not freaked out. I don't know, it's just a weird feeling. But when we first did like the flashlight, we went up to the first room, we went upstairs first. And I apologize for the dog in the background. We went up to the room and we did this communication with Hannah and someone else, William maybe? But William wasn't really talking. Hannah was kind of stealing the show. And she was communicating through a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of was like still skeptical. Like, all right, whatever. Maybe like the battery's loose and they're just, I don't know, somehow using that. And then we went downstairs and nobody knew my name. Spirit box is like talking to me. Oh no, so my mom was talking to it and he was like, oh, do you want to talk to my daughter? And then they said Sarah in the spirit box. I was like, what the? I can't say that on the radio, but then I asked for it to touch me. And it touched my hand after my friend Patrick had done it. I was like, all right, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to do the same thing. And it touched me. And the craziness is, it was only one spot in the entire basement. Like, I could have both hands in front of me, and only my right hand was, like, freezing cold within inches of my other hand. And it was just crazy. That's the moment I knew. As soon as I felt the, like, that one spot, I just knew.
Now, we've had people say, oh, yeah, well, the flashlight, it's loose. Well, yeah, it is, because they muster their energy to turn it on. It's not like they're going to walk over and push the button and turn the light on.
So right.
What really sells people is when you ask a question and tell her if the answer is yes, turn the light on, and the light comes on. And then say, all right, just for confirmation, turn the light off, and the light goes off. It's kind of hard to fake that.
Right, exactly. Especially when no one's near the flashlight. Like, everyone is on the opposite corner or on against other walls and on the floor, and the flashlight is on a table, and no one's even near the flashlight. So no one can even reach it or even reach the table that it's on to move it.
Yep.
So, it was craziness. And then, when we were upstairs, one of the people, like, pointed me out and was like, oh, there's, like, this white aura around you. And I had no idea what that meant. But I definitely have had, like, weird experiences in my life, and it was very weird that person kind of just knew that about me. And maybe that's why Hannah was attracted to me. I don't know, but we had a good time, and I want to go back and explore more with Hannah.
Absolutely. And Rochelle was asking what the event is. We do a haunted history at the Laughing Well Inn, and we bring you guys in, teach you how to use the equipment, and we let you guys do a paranormal investigation along with us. And we have one coming up October 25th and 26th. And the time slots are 6 to 7:30, 8 to 9:30, and 10 to 11:30. It's $30 for adults and $25 for 12 to 17. Due to insurance, no one under 12 is permitted. But you'll see some stuff. It's definitely a very, very active building. And, you know, like Sarah, you said you were a skeptic till you went in. And several other people who were skeptics came out of there just in awe.
Yeah.
It's $30 for adults, Rochelle.
The other thing was, at first, in the first room, I had gotten touched, but I thought it was my mom. And we were walking out of the room, I'm like, Mom, did you just, like, touch my leg? And she's like, no. And I'm like, are you just, like, saying that? Are you messing with me? She's like, no, I wouldn't do that to you. And so, yeah.
Now, which room was that? Was that the tavern?
It wasn't, like,
or?
Shove. It wasn't, like, what?
Was that the tavern, or was it upstairs?
It was upstairs.
Okay.
Before we had gone to the basement.
Rochelle, we take precautions to make sure that they're not going home with you or sticking to you or any of that.
Yeah, that was my concern too.
And along with that, this time we're having tarot readings. Well, you know Snow Bruno.
Yeah.
She's going to be doing tarot readings. So it's going to be a good time. It's, I know Hannah looks forward to it. She doesn't get very many visitors, and when you guys come in and interact with her like that, we did manage to finally capture a picture of Hannah. I don't remember how old Hannah was. I want to say she was,
I thought she was like 8.
It was, yeah, 8 or 9 when she died. She died from, they called it consumption back then, but it's tuberculosis. And she died in the house and has remained a part of the house ever since. So.
Yeah, I would, even if people don't get any activity, I still think the history of the Leavenworth House in general, or even the history of the people that may or may not show up, is pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at all the people that have been in that house, from Benedict Arnold, George Washington, Uncas, Thomas Leffingwell, Thomas Jefferson, you name it, they've been in there. That was one of the most popular spots back during the Revolutionary War.
What are the time slots for it? You probably already said, but
the time slots for both the 25th and the 26th are 6 to 7:30, 8 to 9:30, and 10 to 11:30.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I'll probably give you the 10:30 to 11:30 one.
Nice. The Rochelle just said that hauntedrooms.com said the North State Hospital is the number one haunted place in Connecticut. That was actually the number one haunted place in the United States, or second, I think. I think it was either number one or number two. And yeah, they knocked down the buildings where all the bad stuff was happening. So yes, it is the house right next to Bacchus. So you think everybody should go, Sarah?
Yeah, I really do.
That's awesome. So you got any more stories? Any more paranormal experiences?
I had like minor ones, but I think it was just like my grandpa communicating with me. I don't think it was anything like freaky.
No, that's still, I mean, that's basically how I got involved in it. My grandmother was killed in an accident, and my one-year-old cousin was in the accident too, and he suffered a femur fracture and internal injuries, and he had a body cast that went from his rib cage all the way down both legs, and he was in excruciating pain, and we had him in the bedroom, and at 1 year old, I mean, Mickey Mouse was his everything, and he was laying in that room, and he was just screaming, and all of a sudden, this Mickey Mouse balloon came down the hallway into the bedroom and stopped right above him, and he stopped crying, and we all just sat there with our jaws wide open, and you know, we were like, do we really just see this? And later that night, got him asleep, we were all sitting downstairs. I think it was me, my brothers, my uncle, my aunt, my parents, and we heard footsteps upstairs. And I said, who's upstairs? They're going to wake Jason up. My uncle's like, there's nobody upstairs. We're all right here. And I'm like, no. And then we all heard the footsteps. So we all went upstairs, and there was nobody up there. And that was it. I was sold after that.
That was like a comforting thing, though.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. She wanted to make sure Jason was all right, and after she made sure he was all right, she moved on. See, you know, when people think of hauntings, they think that it's all bad, and it's not. It's not. Some of them are good. Some of them are. There's different types of things. There's unfinished business. There's people that don't know they're dead. And you get to the demonic entities, that's a whole nother ball game. But most of the normal stuff is, you know, the unfinished business. They want to make sure this person's all right, that person's all right. And the ones who don't realize they're dead, those are the easiest ones we investigate, because all you got to do is tell them to go to the light, have them cross over, and bada bing, bada boom. That's it. They're gone.
Yeah.
I feel like those would be the most common.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Now, I don't want to sound like, you know, there's a lot of religions out there to study.
Don't be a James.
No. Oh, my God. You don't even let me get finish here.
Go ahead.
All right. So there's a lot of religions out there. You have Christianity. You have Wicca. You've got paganism. You have all these religions out there. Christianity and Catholic is
Catholicism.
Catholicism, yes. Both say, if you've done any type of religious research, as we know, the religions talk about the afterlife and spirits, and both the Catholic religion and the Christianity religion both say, Christian religion, both say there's a veil between us here and the dead. So if we're not, if these religions are in fact correct by their theories and by the beliefs, if we're not talking to loved ones, who are we talking to? Hmm. Have you ever read the Bible?
I've read the Bible, yeah.
Okay, so the Bible strictly forbids communication with the dead. And it says that there's a veil between this existence and the afterlife.
That's not exactly true.
No, it says that you're not supposed to communicate with the dead. There is a veil between here, our existence, and the spiritual existence. That the only way you can communicate with a soul is for that soul to be occupying a body in the physical world. Now, I know this sounds all technical, but it is what it is. It's what the Bible says. And I'm not trying to sound like a Bible thumper here, but that's what I've read from the Bible. And this is all, to me, very confusing. So, if, like I said, we're not communicating with our loved ones, what are we communicating with?
You never know. That's why you never use
a Ouija board.
Because when you use a Ouija board, you open a portal, and the odds of you actually talking to who you want to talk to are slim and none.
Like one in a million.
Right. And people say, well, they answered this question correctly. They answered that question correctly. A demonic spirit is going to know the answers to those questions. And Sarah will tell you, a very good book on that is Jason's book.
Dark Siege.
And you don't know what you're bringing through. And once you open it, you can't close it. You have to bring somebody in that knows what they're doing to close that portal.
And even when they think it's over, it's not over.
Dark Siege 2. Hey, the next big voice in pop music today, and rock and whatever else, Kate Graves is watching. Hey, Kate. Felicia's here. That's why the spirits and shadows at the back of the old studio showed to you. Absolutely. Absolutely. We talked about that earlier.
What?
It's, I don't know. And people say, well, you can buy Ouija boards in stores and this and that. You can buy guns in stores, too. Right? What's more? What the hell are you doing to that cat?
I just picked her up. And she's all pissed off. Say hi to the black cat. She's all pissed off.
She's hissing at me over here. I'm like, wow.
All right.
I think he let something in here and the cat wants to get the hell out. Way to go, Keith. Got a Ouija board over there?
No, it's...
It's all this talk about spirits. It's dragging entities in here.
And I didn't even say Annabelle.
Oh, jeez, you had to go there.
Now
something's going to break in here. Watch.
Every time we've talked about Annabelle, something's happened in the studio.
Yeah, like power outages and all kinds of fun crap.
Mm-hmm.
One day we're in here, they're Annabelle this and Annabelle that, and all of a sudden, boom, power goes out in the studio.
I think those things.
I don't even
want to
talk about it then, because I'm on the phone and like I'm going to be like somehow affected through the phone.
No, I will not repeat what Rochelle said, but she said, "You basically stop fornicating with the cat, Keith."
Oh my god!
Well, it's a show about Halloween. I wanted to show my black cat, but she was all pissed off when I picked her up.
Yeah, there's some stuff going on in here now that you know, you can feel the air getting heavy. And, no, I'm just kidding.
My poor cat freaked out. She just wants her fancy feast. That's why she's in here meowing at me.
And Felicia said, she said, perfect. Spirits don't break in. They just come in.
Yeah.
And once they're in, good luck.
I would never mess with a Ouija board after hearing, like, crazy stories that I've heard. And I was dumb, and I was, like, 10 or 11 playing with it with, like, my neighbors and stuff. But we didn't know any better.
And the event in Connecticut, remind me, how old were those kids? I know a couple of the boys were in high school. The girl was she?
The girl was probably like 4 because I don't think she was in school yet.
Was she that young? Yeah, you're right. You're right. No. She was in school, wasn't she?
I mean, if she was in school, she was either in like preschool or like kindergarten. I don't know. It was very, very young.
Right. And when you bring things in, it goes to I'm not even going to tell you. Read the book. The book is fantastic. Dark Siege by Jason McLean.
It's very good, but McLean, I will admit, McLeod. I didn't finish the second one yet. Like, that, like, one chapter just really messed me up, and I haven't had, like, the courage to, like, read it again.
Right. Jason McLeod does an amazing, amazing job in detailing the events of what happened with Dark Siege. And do you know what he's doing now?
Well, he was writing something else or doing music or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, he's now the lead singer of the group Shadow Ministry. And you know what?
Yeah,
they're pretty good.
Talk about that.
Yeah, they are pretty good. Shout out to you, Jay. Awesome job. I haven't talked to...
But he was their book.
Huh?
He was writing another book on...
He did. He did. That,
I thought he said something about how to communicate.
Yeah. Yeah, that book was... he did release that book.
It's okay. Cool.
Yeah. I can't get into detail about it because I don't truly understand everything he was talking about. But, yeah, it's a good book. The
all right. Well, you should message that in the thing so I can find that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, if you go to Amazon and just
I could just search his name. That would pop up. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Or
all right. I think my phone is about to die, so I really have to get off the phone.
Oh, well, thanks for calling in. It was great to hear your story, and hopefully, we'll see you at Haunted History. And
you will
see what you can
to 11:30.
See what you can bring out from these spirits in October.
All right, you guys have a good night.
All right, thank you, Sarah Beer, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Bye.
So, once again, Rochelle, it's going to be October 25th to 26th. There are Keith. Thank you.
I got it.
There are 3 time slots, 6 to 7:30, 8 to 9:30, and 10 to 11:30. $30 for adults and $25 for 12 to 17. Again, no one under 12 is permitted for insurance purposes. There is a lot of very breakable stuff in there. And, yeah, I don't think a lot of people under 12 years old will be able to handle what they see anyway. It's very interesting. So, all right, I'm not gonna. Before we wrap up,
caller, you're on the air.
It's Felicia.
Hey, what's up, Felicia?
Hi, my Felicia half hour went down to 7 minutes.
Your what?
My Felicia half hour.
Felicia half hour.
No, you got time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
totally. Snow's done a bunch of investigations for us at the studio. Keith has done. He's been there. He's experienced it himself without even mentioning it. Every customer who's been there late with me experienced it. So I totally am with you. So I want to, let's close the show and lighten the mood since it feels thicker now. You ready?
Absolutely.
All right. So my list of crazy shit I did this week. You ready? There's a list this time. It's not just the one thing. I didn't just pick up a guy, but, you know, that was the week before was the week I picked up the prisoner at the bus stop to carry a desk for me. So
all right.
this week I flew to Texas. I was met up with some friends from Guam, which we all come from different parts of the world, so we all just ended up meeting up in Guam over 10 years ago. So still good friends, so that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I got to feed some deer. I had lunch by the Alamo, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
I swam in a river full of turtles and ducks. Which was kind of neat, because I see the turtle heads poking up, and all I can hear is, like, silly, you know, anyway. The ducks are very territorial, though, so don't go near them. Oh, I got to touch a longhorn's horn.
A real, I mean, was
a real
it
longhorn, look, yep.
It's still attached?
And I'm still alive.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I was a little scared, but the rancher was like, yeah, just touch it. I'm like, okay, I've been told to touch worse, so why not the longhorn? Let's see. I've made a Texas flag out of old pallet metal and broken glass.
Nice.
Let's see. I got my feet got bit up by fire ants.
Oh, those things suck.
Yeah, they do. They sting forever. Like,
mm-hmm.
Ugh, they're horrible. My friend got stung by a scorpion on the bottom of his foot.
Ooh.
And yep. Then, let's see, I saw a deer with, amongst the bounties of roadkill, right next to Roadkill Cafe, by the way, saw a zebra, a jackalope, a donkey, a whole bunch of deer, armadillos, and just random shit I couldn't even identify anymore because they were ran over. Yeah, and then I flew back.
All right.
Yeah, so I had a crazy week. That was awesome.
I think the worst part is them damn fire ants.
Those are horrible.
I got bit by them little bastards when I was down in Texas, and oh my God, I got them on my arm, and it was horrible.
But the feet were terrible. They was just all of a sudden just burn. Like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm glad to be back. We have fire ants on Guam, but and they were much bigger, so you can see them. But the ones in Texas, they're like
the tiny ones.
Like,
yep,
a little bit bigger than chiggers. So you can't really see until they bite you.
Mm-hmm.
But the fire ants are just a little bit bigger than that, enough to see them and be like, "What the hell?" And it's already too late by the time you see them.
Yep.
Yeah.
you kick one of them freaking mounds over, and you get thousands of them crawling on you.
No, that's the thing with Texas. It's all underground, so all the there's no mounds.
Really, down there. That's how I ended.
I was in San Antonio, like hill country area.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was over by when I was in San Antonio. I didn't see any, but over in Beaumont and in that area there, where it's all like farm country.
They have a lot of hills there, but the hill country they go down into the ground.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I hate them little
that's
bastards.
Really odd.
I saw a lot of snakes when I was there too. That was.
They said there were snakes in that river. Of course, she told me that before we went in the river, and I was like trying to muster my courage to still go.
Well, I,
it was a really, really good welcoming committee. As soon as we got there, they're like, "Who's going to sleep on the couch?" By the way, I got stung by a scorpion there last week. Thanks. not me.
See, we got snakes up here, and they don't bother me. But down there, it's like, oh, watch out. That's a moccasin right there. Oh, watch out. That's a cotton mouth. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go back and just do nothing.
Yeah. And they're all really hungry, so they will bite you.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Up here, there's a million things to eat, so they're not really hungry. They're just, like, more territorial than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up here, you don't bother them. They don't bother you. End of it. Down there, forget it. Them little bastards will chase you.
Yeah. So, your show was great today.
Thank you.
It was fun to watch. I love that paranormal stuff. I have it all around me all the time.
Yeah, I know. Now, hopefully, so, hopefully it doesn't follow you to the new place.
No, I always keep Sage around, and you know, but Snow's going to come over this weekend, and she's awesome. So she'll, you know, cleanse the place and make sure nothing's following me.
Nice. Well, you got a good person to do it.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
So that's going to be awesome. And she still is raising money for her dog surgery, so I'm going to help her out there and as much as I can. So that's, you know, it's all for good cause.
Awesome. That's awesome of you.
Yay. The little Gizmo. If you haven't met him, he's so stinking cute. It's like...
Gizmo.
It's hard not to love a face like that.
Oh, yeah. Gizmo is adorable.
Yeah. I just want to put him in my purse and run.
All right, Felicia, we're out of time.
All right, I know.
All right, well, we'll talk to you next week, and we'll have more paranormal stories next week.
Cool. So, next week? Do you want me to theme it up? Is there anything you want me to stick to?
No, whatever.
Whatever, whatever.
Whatever.
All right. So, what's your topic next week?
I don't know. I take it one day at a time. Probably along. Along the lines of the same thing.
All right.
We'll have one more caller that wants to call in.
Okay. All right.
All right. I'll talk to you later, guys.
All right, Felicia.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. It is 6 o'clock.
860-626-5193. Get your call in now before it's too late.
It's too late. We'll have to have Rochelle call next week. She can be the first caller next week.
Oh, she already told her to call now.
So... Jimbo. All right. If you missed the show, you can always watch the replay. And if you have any stories, any comments, just let me know. And hopefully I'll see you at Lansdowne this weekend. I will be there tonight through Saturday night. Stop in, see Chef Randy, have some good food, a drink or two, and have a good time. So, until next week, I had to think about that. Have a great week, and I'll see you guys next week. Take care.